Have you ever watched the shadows get long from the left seat and felt your stomach tighten? I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, and this is Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about a scenario that catches more VFR pilots than you'd think. You planned a beautiful cross-country. The weather was perfect at departure, and now the sun is doing something you didn't account for. It's leaving. Let's walk through this together, because the decisions you make in the last hour of daylight will tell you everything about the kind of pilot you're becoming. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, here's the setup. You're a freshly minted private pilot, maybe 60-70 hours total time. You plan to cross country from your home field in central Texas to visit a friend at a little airport in southern Arkansas, about 300 nautical miles. You figured 2 hours 45 minutes with a fuel stop halfway. You check the weather this morning, clear skies, winds light and variable, a perfect day. But here's what happened. You got a late start. You told yourself you'd be wheels up by noon. It was 1:30 before you actually taxied out. That 45-minute delay at the fuel stop turned into an hour 15 because the self-serve pump needed a credit card reset and you had to walk to the FBO. Then you had a 15-knot headwind that the forecast said would be 10. Every one of those small delays stacked. Now it's 6:45 in the evening. You're about 60 miles from your destination. The sun sets at 7:52 tonight. You have just over an hour of daylight, and after sunset, you've got maybe another 30 minutes of civil twilight. The math works barely. But the math working barely is not the same as the math working comfortably. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The regulations say you need to be current for night flight to act as pilot in command after the end of civil twilight, but the regulations are the floor, not the ceiling. The real question is not whether you're legal, the real question is whether you're ready. So let's build a decision tree right here. You're at 60 miles out, 6:45, and the sun is getting orange on the horizon. What are your options? Option 1, press on, you've got the math. 60 miles at your current ground speed of about 110 knots means roughly 33 minutes. You'll be on the ground before sunset with time to spare. This is probably fine. But I want you to ask yourself 3 honest questions before you choose this one. Do you know this destination airport? Have you flown in there before? And what does the traffic pattern look like when the sun is in your eyes on the downwind leg? If the answer to any of those is no or I'm not sure, that should give you pause, arriving at an unfamiliar field in the last golden hour of daylight when you're already tired from a long day of flying, when the shadows make terrain features hard to read. That is a setup for a rough arrival. Not necessarily a dangerous one, but the kind where you're behind the airplane and you know it. Option 2, divert. There's a field 25 miles to your south with a 3,000-foot runway, pilot-controlled lighting, and you looked it up in the chart supplement this morning because it was on your route. You can be on the ground in 15 minutes with an hour of daylight to spare. You call your friend, tell them you'll drive the last hour, or you'll fly the last leg first thing tomorrow morning when you're rested and the light is good. This is the boring option. This is the option that doesn't make for a good story at the hangar, and this is the option that keeps you alive for 60 more years of flying. Option 3. There's a field 10 miles ahead, right under your nose. You can see the runway. It's got fuel. You land there, take a breath, check the weather one more time, and make a calm decision about whether to continue. Now here's where the scenario gets real. Because most pilots in this situation don't think they have a decision to make at all. They think they're committed. I've got 60 miles to go and the math works. Why would I stop? The examiner is looking for something specific when they test your aeronautical decision-making. They're looking for whether you can recognize that a situation is deteriorating before it becomes an emergency. The sun going down is not an emergency, but a tired pilot arriving at an unfamiliar field in fading light after a long day is a link in a chain, and your job is to break that chain before it gets tight. Let's add a wrinkle. You're at 50 miles out now, 7:05, and you notice something you didn't expect. There's a haze layer building to the east, right over your destination. It wasn't in the forecast. It's not fog, it's not a cloud, it's just that murky, gray-brown smear that shows up on warm evenings when the air cools and the moisture hangs. The visibility is probably fine above it, but when you descend into it for the approach, you're gonna lose the horizon. This is where the scenario stops being about daylight and starts being about what the airman certification standards call risk management. The ACS wants you to identify hazards, assess risk, and mitigate it. So let's do that right now. Hazard 1, unfamiliar airport. You've never flown in there. You've looked at the diagram, but that's not the same as knowing the landmarks. The trees off the departure end, the power lines on the left base. Hazard 2, fatigue. You've been flying for over 4 hours today with one stop. Your decision-making isn't as sharp as it was at noon and you know it. Hazard 3. Fading light. Not dark yet, but the light is changing fast and it will keep changing while you're in the pattern. Hazard 4. Haze. Reduced visibility that wasn't forecast and that you're going to descend into. Any one of those alone is manageable? All four together. That's the kind of cocktail that shows up in National Transportation Safety Board reports. And every single one of those reports has a sentence in it that reads something like, "The pilot continued VFR flight into conditions that were deteriorating." Nobody ever writes that sentence about themselves while they're living it. That's the trap. So what do? You make the decision before the decision makes itself. You pick that airport 10 miles ahead or the one 25 miles south. You land with time and fuel and daylight to spare. You eat a bad airport vending machine sandwich, and you wake up tomorrow morning, fly the last 30 minutes in crystal clear air, and your friend picks you up with a cup of coffee. That's not a failure. That is the single best decision you will make all year. Here's the other thing nobody tells you, this gets easier. The more you fly, the more you develop what old instructors call the little voice, that voice in the back of your head that says, "This is starting to feel wrong." Early in your flying career, that voice is quiet. It whispers, and the voice that says, "Come on, you're almost there," is screaming. Your job is to learn to listen to the quiet one. One practical tool that helps, before you even start across country, set yourself what I call a hard deck, not an altitude, a time I will be on the ground at my destination or at a diversion field no later than 1 hour before sunset. Period. No negotiation. You can always relax that rule later as you gain experience and ratings. But when you're early in your flying, that hard deck takes the decision-making out of the moment and puts it back in the planning phase where it belongs. You're not deciding whether to press on at 6:45 with the sun going down. You already decided this morning. Wheels down by 6:52. That's it. And if the delays stack up and you can't make that time, you divert. No drama, no stress, just a pilot making a good call. Let me give you one more piece of this. Let's say you do press on. You arrive at the field. The haze is there. You enter the traffic pattern, and you're on the downwind, and the runway is harder to see than you expected. The shadows are long, and the pavement blends into the ground. You turn base. You turn final. And you're a little high because you weren't sure where the threshold was. This is the moment where a lot of pilots force the landing. They dive at the runway. They come in fast. They land long. Because they've already committed in their mind. And a go-around feels like giving up. It is not giving up. The go-around is the best tool in your entire toolbox, and it is free. Full power, pitch up, carb heat off, flaps up in stages, go around, fly the pattern again. This time you know exactly where the runway is, you've seen the landmarks, and you set up a stabilized approach, or you decide the visibility is too poor, and you divert to the bigger airport 20 miles west with the rotating beacon you can already see. Every good decision gives you more options. Every bad decision takes one away. That's the entire framework. The FAA's Risk Management Handbook talks about the PAVE checklist: pilot, aircraft, environment, external pressures. We just walk through all four. The pilot is tired. The aircraft is fine, but that's only one out of four. The environment is deteriorating. And the external pressure? Your friend is waiting. You said you'd be there by 7. That pressure is real, and pretending it doesn't exist doesn't make it go away. You have to name it out loud. "I'm pressing on because I told someone I would be there." And then you have to ask yourself, is that a good enough reason to add risk? It never is. So here's your homework. Next time you plan across country, set that hard deck. 1 hour before sunset, write it on your kneeboard. And if the day goes sideways and the delays pile up, give yourself permission to land short. Call it practice. Call it being conservative. Call it whatever you want. The pilots who fly for decades are the ones who land early and drive the last hour, not the ones who press on because the math barely works. Most of what I talked through today comes straight from the FAA's Risk Management Handbook and the Airman Certification Standards for Private Pilot. Both are free, both are worth rereading. That's it for this one. Fly the plan, and when the plan stops working, make a new one. I'll see you next time on Traffic Pattern, right here at RadioHangar.com.